Revelation chapter 12, beginning to read with verse 7. We'll read to the end of the chapter. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And a great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragons saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, and to the woman were given two wings of great eagles, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and a half a time, from the face of the serpent. The serpent cast out his out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Let's begin now with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and read your word. We praise you for the freedom that we have to do that today. And Father, help us each and every day to be appreciative of the freedom that we have, that we stand for it. And we praise you that we can come and openly speak your name, openly come to worship. Thank you for the days that we live in, the country that we live in. Thank you most of all for your Son, Father, the Lord Jesus, that he come to this earth and lived, died, and rose again, that we can truly live. Thank you for that precious gift. Thank you for your word that you've given us so we can study and know exactly your words. It's just you're speaking to us clearly, directly, and we have the precious teacher in our hearts. We possess that if we know you as our Savior, but Father, if we don't, if we're not born again, then we don't have the teacher. The more we study and try to read the word of God, it makes very little sense. And the reason is because you're not born again. Father, please touch every heart today here that they know you as their Savior, and then they begin that wonderful walk, precious walk with you. Now speak to our hearts through these words today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We find that there was war in heaven. And it begins by speaking of a person here, of an angel. It's the name is Michael, and Jude calls him the archangel. And you can find reference to Michael in Daniel chapter 10 and chapter 12 verse 1, then in Jude verse 9, here in Revelation 12:7, and then also in 1 Thessalonians 16. He is an archangel. It seems that Michael is a leading, if not the leading, angel. And his purpose seems to deal most of the time, if not all the time, with the nation of Israel. So we could kind of say that he is their archangel or their guardian angel. He's the one that speaks to them and talks to them. This You can again find that reference in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. We find in this verse of Scripture that not only do angels minister, and do not only angels help, but angels also, we find, fight. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. His archangel, Michael, fought for God's chosen, for God's elect, for Israel. There's a war that rages here upon earth during this time. We think we have wars and rumors of war now. You wait till this time of tribulation. And there is wars, fighting, and the anger that's against the God's chosen people here has come into the hearts of the lost. And they just have, it's all they can think about. That's all they can do is to fight against God's chosen, Israel. It's all they can, it's all he can think about and ponder on. There is that fight here upon earth, good and evil, God's chosen and the wicked that have chosen not to trust in God. Also, there is spiritual powers and spiritual wars going on in the lower heavens. And this battle that we find here, there is battle that it's almost like the world is in convulsions, and it's just going to, how can it sustain itself? How can it go? Because there is wars in heaven and there's wars upon earth during this period of time. Angels that are good, and there's angels that are bad. The good angels stayed on the side of God and was faithful to God. The bad chose the God of this world, the God of this place. Of course, they serve and follow the devil. They right now are playing, are active in the affairs of the world. We don't know when angels come to minister to us for the side of good. Many times we don't recognize when there are angels that are on the devil's side that come to cause evil. And so they are involved in all the affairs of the world, whether it be political or religious. They're right here and they're right now. You wonder why things seem to be getting worse. It doesn't just seem like that. They are getting worse. The more that the world turns away from God, the more freedom and power that the devil gains. We can see it in every walk of life. We can see it in government. We can see it in religion today. The further that we get away from confessing Jesus as our Savior, knowing God as the Creator and Lord of the world, knowing God our Father is Jehovah, the only God, as people get away from that, day by day, wickedness grows. Evil continues to grow. And I believe that you can see that today. In the end, however, there'll be an ultimate time of battle. Forces of good and evil will come with all of their forces, because as the scripture said, the time is short in the end of verse 12. The devil knows that his time is coming to an end. He knows that. He recognizes that. And if someone that is wicked, and you think of the opposite of someone that is good, that does good, if you know that your end is soon, you would do everything you could do as much good as you could do. But when you're evil and wicked, you do the opposite. You do as much evil and as much wickedness as you can fester up. I mean, it just is just as much as you can possibly do. Our scripture tells us that this the lower heavens, where we see the stars and where the birds fly and in that region, that area, is the kingdom of Satan. That's where his kingdom reign is. You know, when sin was come into the heart, to the life of Lucifer, which is Satan, at that time he was cast out of heaven, and his angels that followed him went as well. Paul tells us concerning another heaven. You think of heaven being heaven. There are actually three heavens. The third heaven is where our God reigns and lives. And then the second heaven is the stars and the moon and what we see. And then the first is the one where the birds fly. And so it's been divided into three levels, and those three, and the lower two are the ones that Satan has rule and reign over. He has the rule and reign over them, not the third heaven. The third heaven is the place where God dwells, and we dwell as well. And I want you to see this before we move on. Positionally, we are dead and our lives are hid with Christ in God. And you can go to Colossians chapter 3 and read verses 1 through 4 to see that. And so Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 through 4. We are dead in our trespasses and sins because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our lives are hid with Christ. So positionally, we are members of his body right now. He sits at the right hand of God right now. And so we sit with Jesus in heavenly places in the third heaven. In the third heaven. That is positionally where we are. When we trusted, if you trusted Jesus as your Savior, that day, did you not only get your sins taken away, but you were positionally placed at the throne of God. What a victory. What a joy. And this is referred to as the third heaven. The other heavens, that's where this battle's going on. I want to divide that so that you could see the difference. The third heaven is the throne of God. And again, you can go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. But as we look now at this, the heavens that we see, and this battle that's raging on between the wicked and the good. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, in the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. And so we have the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Now, if you'll turn with me to the 6th chapter, verse 12. Chapter 6, verse 12, Ephesians 6, 12. This is one maybe you're a little more familiar with, but it also speaks of the principalities and powers. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. the first and second heaven. Not only on earth, but also in the first and second heaven. We have here in the 12th chapter of Revelation, we find the time when this is coming to an end. He is no longer in power of these heavens. And look at this scripture verse again. We'll read verse 7 and then 8. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. That great dragon was cast out, the beginning of verse 9 tells us. He was evicted from the heavens. Evicted for good, never to re-enter. The title Prince and Power of the Air will no longer be his. Michael and his angels defeat the dragon and his angels. The dragon and his angels are cast out of heaven. And then we find here some references to this, the devil, Satan, the old serpent. It's in verse 9. A great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. The great deceiver, the great accuser. If you were here when we studied the book of Job, you'll find that the old devil went right up to the throne of God and made requests, accused the brethren. He does that day and night. He is the accuser of the brethren, the accuser of the believers. And he is there constantly. Not only does he do everything in his power and strength to keep you from being saved, he also does everything he can do to keep you from serving, praising, and honoring his name. And he goes up before God and he accuses everyone. He's the accuser of the brethren, and he does that day and night. He stands before the throne of God. That'll be over. His days are numbered that he can no longer do that. No longer can he come up and speak slanderous things, accusations against the children of God. And you see, when those are brought unto the throne of God, the only thing our Lord sees is that precious blood that saved us, that keeps us, that covers us. But that doesn't stop the old devil from accusing us and slandering us and bringing half-truths against us. Here in chapter 12, we have the account of the beginning of the greatest battle that will ever be fought here upon earth. The greatest battle that's ever come. He is cast from the heavens down. This great battle that's fought above us. And at the close of that, there's a time when it's over, when it's done. But this great battle that's going on and will be going on in its full strength during the tribulation period. But Michael and his angels, they go against the devil and his angels. Michael wins. God wins. God's the victor. And they are cast down. And finally, they will be cast down into the lake of fire, their eternal home. Since the day Lucifer was cast out of heaven, that day that he decided that he wanted to be equal with God, at that moment, he became the devil, and he has been the enemy and at war at Jehovah God and with his people, God's people, ever since. The heaven and the earth must be cleaned out. They must be made new and made fresh, and we have to get rid of the curse. We have to get rid of sin. We have to get rid of all evil that's present. when this single act was took place here in the ninth verse, it says he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Look at verse 10. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast out, which accuseth them before our God day and night. Just that single act of him being cast to earth brought rejoicing in heaven. Brought rejoicing in heaven. You know, we need to know the Word of God. And we need to, even though battles come, we need to rejoice. When we see that the evil power is getting so strong, we need not to worry. We need to pray for our God for strength. Pray to our God for direction, for power. But at the same light, we need to be excited because we know that he's coming, and he's coming soon. He is coming soon. And we need to be ready. We need to be working. We need to be in service for him. All of creation has suffered under this sin. All of it. And the time is coming. His days are numbered. His days are numbered. And it brought a shout out of heaven for what's coming. Now has come salvation. Now has come strength. The kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ. It's coming. What's that mean? It means Jesus is returning, yes, to the earth. Jesus is returning not only to the earth, but he is going to rule and reign. There's a 1,000-year reign, millennium, going to be here upon this earth. He's coming to take care of that. And heaven is rejoicing because the act of the evil one, is finally being put down. We know that at the very end of the 1,000-year reign, there is a period of time, a short period of time, where Satan is loosed once again. And there'll be vengeance upon this earth, a hatred upon this earth. He'll be trying to get all he can, that last little window that he has. And then he'll be cast in the lake of fire. We wonder why God would allow him back. Why doesn't God just do away with the devil? Why doesn't he put him in the lake of fire right now? It's already prepared. You know, our God wants us to serve him. Our God wants us to praise him. Our God wants to be working for him, not because there is no other choice, but because we choose to. And that's where the blessing comes to us, is when we choose to serve him and to praise him and to honor him. And with that old devil there knocking on the door and wanting to move our life this way or change that way or occupy our direction over here and get us so focused in just the pleasures of this life instead of serving our God, we have choices to make and decisions to make. Do you choose to live as the devil wants you to, or do you choose to serve God and to praise God and to honor God? The accuser of the brethren is cast down, so the days are numbered, as the Scripture tells us. Verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. We need to realize that there is only one way of victory. Those who deny the blood of Christ, there is no means of salvation for them, none whatsoever. You have to believe and have to know the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, the day you get saved, you may not understand that. But the Spirit that lives within you will teach you that truth and will not deny the precious power and the strength of the blood of Christ. And that same precious blood is what brings victory to all. it will be the same precious blood that not only has saved our hearts, but will also make all this new. And this curse will be gone. The enemy will be destroyed. And it's all through the blood of the cross. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins, the scripture said. Without the shedding of blood, there is no redemption. There is nothing if you take the blood of Jesus away. There are many that deny that. All is done. All this cleansing process, getting rid of the evil one, the devil, getting rid of all his evil followers in the angels and men, all that'll be cleaned. And once again, we'll be here upon earth for 1,000 years with the Lord. Isn't it something here in verse 9 how we have so many different descriptions of the devil? The old serpent. That kind of takes us all the way back to Adam and Eve. Dragon. That just kind of speaks, I guess, of his power and his cruelty. The power and the strength of the dragon. The serpent, again, takes us back to the first successful act of the devil when he won over Adam and Eve. It said that the devil is his personal name, and Satan once again speaks of him more of the dragon and the old serpent's more of his character, and the devil and Satan, those two names are more of his person, of who he is. And so we can rejoice because the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, they love not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Once again, remember, the woman is Israel. And so once he is down here, he knows his days are numbered, and he is going with a vengeance. He is going to destroy Israel once and for all. And he does everything he can do. And you know, we have watched how that in the sixth verse it says, the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years. We find right here that to the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle. And the scripture many times speaks of the eagle's wings that pick Israel up and protect her and care for her, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the face of the serpent. Those two verses, verse 14 and verse 6, are the same thing. Time, times, and a half a time, if you remember, is 3.5 years. We have many different references to that time period. Verse 15, the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Oh, in verse 17, that made that devil angry. Everything that he's trying to do, he has stopped. Why is he stopped? Why can't he get victory over this one small thing, destroying Israel? He has made havoc of all the world for all the centuries, and he can't get rid of that one little nation, Israel. He can't do it. All of his forces now are brought together, and he can't do it. And it speaks of a flood that poured out of his mouth. And all God did. See, God's the creator of this world. You see, we don't need to worry. We don't need to be afraid. God is our great protector. He is our strength. He is our salvation. What's he do to save them? He not only prepared a certain place for them, he lifted them up and took them there. And the old devil brings these floods out, and God just opens the earth up and swallows the flood. It's nothing to him. He can do anything he wants to do. Oh, we need to praise in his name and trust in him. A dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. See, this just isn't the nation of Israel. This is the true nation of Israel. These are those that believed. The calling back of the nation of Israel in this tribulation period would be the greatest move back. The temple will be built. Everything will be back into its proper place as far as the Jews are concerned. Some will be deceived. Some will be saved. And only those that are saved will be numbered in this. True Israel. True Israel. Not just because you're a Jew. Not just because you're of Israel will you be safe here. We're coming to the very close of the tribulation period. And as that time comes, and it comes to an end, only believers enter into the millennial reign of Christ. There will not be one lost person left. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, if you're lost, you're dead. If you're saved, look what he does. He picks them up. He cares for them. He protects them. Oh, again, verse 17, this made that old dragon so mad. He went out and he was doing it, but the key there, they keep the commandments of God. They trusted in Jesus. They have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in a meeting yesterday and a person wanted to pray for some activities that's coming up, and she said, I don't use the term Christian anymore, because she said, everybody's a Christian. She said, I'm a follower of the risen Lord, Jesus Christ. That was her testimony. She wanted to be clear. Didn't want to be numbered with all of them. Just like here, there's not. Just because your name is a Jew, just because you say you're a Christian, you need to know Jesus as your Savior. What a time this is going to be. Can you just get that in your mind, just a little bit of this war going on, and then him being cast to earth, and then he just takes all of his strength and all of his vengeance to go after the nation of Israel. I mean, he hates anyone that trusts in Jesus. He's out to destroy him. But specifically the nation of Israel, he has a hatred. He has never in all the times been able to stop them. No matter what he does, he can't stop them. And you know, when you have a hatred for someone or for something, and the harder you try and the more you work to destroy them or to stop them, and you can't, you don't just give up. You get madder and madder and madder, and you just bring everything you can do to where it has totally consumed your life. Well, that's the devil. He is totally consumed with one thing at this point, to destroy Israel. His time is short, the scripture says. You would think that he would be concerned about that. But you see, his mindset and the mindset of all evil man that have no use for God, their mind is continuing to be more troubled, more confused as the days go by. You'll see that man is making little sense today. Don't seem like common sense is a part of their life or vocabulary. And it's true. It's true. It's because of the Scripture. The Scripture's telling us that. God puts a blindness on them after a point in time. And once you begin being separated from God, it just gets your life just gets worse and worse all the time. Oh, we need to preach the gospel. Tell folks how to be saved. Take it to the Lord in prayer that all be saved, because this time will come. We're getting close to the end of the 7 years, the last 3.5 years. God protects his own. He's lifted them up, hid them in a mountain. He's going to keep them there till this is over. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank you that you give us your word and tell us of your word. For a believer, we will not be there. We won't be into any part of this. We're not going to be at the tribulation time. We're going to be taken away before it starts. But Father, every one of us know people, know folks that don't know you as their Savior. They've either been very religious all their life, or maybe just have no use for church or religion or anything. They just don't see the need of it. Our prayer list needs to grow. We need to pray for these folks that we come in contact with, that they'll come to know the Lord Jesus. Some are real evil people and some are real good people. But if they don't know you, Lord Jesus, it's only an outward appearance. Their heart's wicked and evil. So please, dear Father, help all that's here to know that we need to come to the cross of Calvary. And when you do that, you're going to remember that time. Please, dear Lord, touch their hearts. Touch your hearts today. Father, those of us that know you as our Savior and know it for sure and trust in it, please, Lord, that you'll just guide us and lead us and strengthen us, open our mouths and show this old wicked world what peace and joy can be gained even here and now. What it means to have your sins forgiven. Please, Lord, speak to our hearts now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.